And most of all, thank you for reminding me that we have a faithful God who's good, who's exceedingly loving beyond even our earthly dads, even though we love them very much. But thank you for that great reminder of a great God. Let us pray. Lord God, we invite your greatness into this place. For we, your people, desperately, desperately need to see you. We cry out to you, Holy Spirit, that you fill this place with your grace and truth. For without your leading us, we are blind. We seek your truth. We seek to see your glory. Lord God, may you be honored. In the imperfection of words, the imperfection of preaching, may we see you as this perfect loving God who embraces us, who runs after us passionately, even when we don't run after you. Let us see how amazing your love is, Lord God, that your goodness goes before us and we can wholeheartedly trust in your goodness. So Holy Spirit, bring us to that delight of your knowledge. Bring us the delight of experience of your goodness. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. My question to you is, have you ever been exhausted? Have you been like, oh, I need more rest? My wife needs a lot of rest. If she doesn't get 8 hours, little cranky, right? And for me, I pull all-nighters. But if I get 3-4 hours of sleep, I'm not very good either. Have you guys ever experienced a restlessness that you just need more rest? Right? And let me just ask you another question. All right? Do you feel often that you just can't trust anybody in New York City? Right? You ever get that feeling that you can't trust anybody? And you ever get that feeling when you can't trust anybody, there is tenseness in the air? Right? And I can go into it a little bit more as we unpack. But we need to face this reality. We have a great God, but we need to face this world. And I just remember how I felt after the elections, all right, or coming up to elections. I was up to 12:30 at night. I was extremely anxious. Right? And there's a lot of restlessness. Shirley and I were up very late, know what to do. So I had to remind myself, where does my peace lie? Where does my trust lie? And this is about my feeble attempt to bring forth to you that you and I need rest and you and I need to trust. But how does it unfold in the world today? But before we all begin, let us dive into God's word that really has shown me, all right, a ridiculous example of rest. To me, this is a ridiculous example of rest. Let's read God's word, but yet profoundly true. Right? Okay, we're reading from Matthew. All right, use your imagination. No, just what? You haven't not memorized the whole book of Matthew? Matthew 8. Okay. Okay. All right. From meeting Matthew 8, starting from verse 23. Let's read it together. Then he got into the boat, and the disciple followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up upon the lake, so the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went on and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are going to drown. He replied, you are little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The man was amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And this really struck me, all right? And I really got really inspired by what my pastor, Pastor Rich, really talked about this. And how is Jesus resting when there's a storm? How can he be totally out on a cushion, really enjoying his peacefulness when there is a storm? And this is what I want to charge us and to ponder. Where is his trust? Right? And where is our trust? And then we look at the disciples. They were full of fear. All right? First, they were afraid of the storm. All right? They're afraid they're going to drown. But there were people like us full of fear. And Jesus, when he got woken up, all right, he calmed the storm. But this is the interesting fact. The interesting thing is about the disciples' response after Jesus calmed the storm. What was the response of the disciples after he calmed the storm? What was his, just a few, what was the disciples' response after Jesus calmed the storm? Man, Anna? Huh? Oh, that's okay. That's okay. What was the disciples' response after Jesus calmed the storm? Shocked. Interesting. They were shocked. But they were also kind of afraid. They were still full of fear. All right? It's interesting. You and I, like disciples, have imperfect faith, but we have a perfect God. And it's okay that we have fears, but the challenge is, where do we put our faith? All right? Let me unpack this a little bit. Next slide. Okay. Does this look like you and me sometimes? All right? And this is how I looked, and I think this is how New York City looked during the elections. I go, oh my God, I can't trust the government anymore. All right? And there was no rest in the city. There's people still protesting today, all right, you know, about the elections. There's seemingly a restlessness in the city, all right? And I realized for myself that I did not trust the government that much. I did not trust the election process that much. No matter who I vote for, I didn't trust the candidates that much. I was really not at rest. And my proposal to you is, without trust, there cannot be rest. And I'm also proposing to you, just like the disciples, we are facing many, many storms. There will be many storms in our lives that we will have our faith tested. And the reason why I was so grieved after the elections is because of this. I realized, yes, this wonderful nation is somewhat flawed, even though it's a good one. And that I can't fully, which is okay, I can't fully put all my trust in the government. And that's a good thing. But that challenges me to think, where do I ultimately put my trust? All right, next slide. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or weep or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, worried, add a single hour to your life? The Bible challenges and challenges me the futility of our own worry. All right? It's like, can you add one single hour by worrying away? All right? There was a study done by a British agency that in most of our lifetime, we will spend 6.5 years worrying our life away. 6.5 years worrying. And the Bible charges us, can you add a single hour to your life by worrying? In other versions, can you add a little height to your stature by worrying? I wish that was true, but no. Right? I wish I can add a little height by worrying. No, I cannot. So, let's march on to our challenge. All right? Where there is no trust, there is no rest. I really like this. And it challenges me. And I realize if there's no trust, there is no rest. when I get into a car of a friend who I don't trust their driving, all right? You know, he's like getting too close to that car. He slams on the brake a little bit close, right? I can't rest in the car. I'm hanging on to the side a little bit, all right? When you go to a restaurant and you see the cook go to the bathroom, right? And walks out of the bathroom and doesn't wash his hands, then when there's no trust, there's no enjoyment, there's no rest, right? When I go to my barber shop, all right, and I do in Chinatown, and they still use, I don't know what you know, a straight razor. You know what's a straight razor? All right, it's a razor that has no protection, all right, and they shave you. Whoa, I know, old time, right? Right, you know? If I saw a barber's handshake like this, I'm going to shave you now, right? I'm not resting, all right? When you don't trust, there is no rest. I hate to say this. If you don't trust your pastor, you don't trust your parents, you don't trust something, there is no rest. We need to have trust. And my proposal is this, all right? You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they can find their rest in you. St. Augustine in his confession, all right? And said, ultimately, I realized that for me to ultimately get some type of rest, I have to find something, someone to trust. My body will never be relaxed. My life will not be relaxed until I find a proper person, proper thing to trust. And this is challenging to me because I worried a lot. My wife worries a lot. But I go back and forth just like you oftentimes. But the solution is before us. If we can find the right thing to trust, the right person to trust, we find our rest. And the rest we will find ultimately is in God. And I'll come back to this. I love this quote. At times, perhaps sleep with confidence pleases Jesus more than prayer with fear. Dale Berner. Interesting. All right? At times, perhaps sleep with confidence in God pleases Jesus more than prayer with like, whoa, I'm falling, the world's falling apart. All right? And this is one, I'll give you a modern day. All right? Are you trusting in God so much? This is a challenge for me, and I try to do this. It's really difficult. I try, all right? Do you trust God enough? Oh, this is just practical. Do you trust God enough to turn off your phone for half a day? Whoa! I trust God can walk on water, but you ask me to turn off my phone for half a day? It's a challenge. Let's be real. Where do I put ultimately my trust? Can we actually take a day for Sabbath when we are called by God to say, take one day out of seven. Stop your work. Stop taking control of your life all the time. Trust that even when you rest, I am at work for your goodness. Can you take a day to Sabbath to enjoy God's presence? That's a big, big challenge. Start with the phone. And maybe Dan will lead you how to really enjoy God's Sabbath. It's like often says, we don't need to keep the Sabbath. By keeping the Sabbath, it keeps us. All right? Next slide. Okay. How do you trust? What do you trust and how do you start to trust? All right? Oftentimes, it's because somebody told me so. All right? You know, I found my barber in Chinatown because my good friend told me so. Because, yeah, look, it's pretty good, right? My friend says, oh, I tried this great dumpling restaurant in Flushing, all right? It is really good. I trust him, so I go trust the restaurant, right? You know, hey, what kind of car should I buy? You ask around and you trust your friend. And he goes, well, Honda Civics and they're pretty good. And you trust him and you go on. All right. What school should I go to? All right. You trust your teachers. All right. And you trust people who have gone to the school, possibly. All right. Or you trust your parents who gone to that school. You have, because somebody told you so. That's how sometimes we find trust. Right. And then other things today, we trust the internet. Let's be honest. Oh, my wife, she wants a good place to travel. She checks TripAdvisor. She checks the rating of the hotel, all right, before she does anything. How we find trust? By other people's review on the net, right? Yelp. All right. Yeah, now I don't go to the restaurant, which I don't know, until I Yelp it. Right? Or how many likes you get on Facebook about that particular something. This is how modern people begin to trust. But I say there's something that has been around a lot longer than all of us, right? Take a guess how long TripAdvisor has been around. Since what year? Anybody, just take a wild guess. Just 1969, that's good. That's close to when I was born, 1961. Very good, take one more guess. 2002, really good. 2000, it's only been around 2000, it's only been around 16 years, dude. Things that we trust, 16 years, TripAdvisor. All right, Yelp, 2008, really close, 2004. You guys are really good, this side is good. all right, this is one guy, you guys come. Facebook, what year? Whole year, right on the money. They're catching up, 2009. All right, you guys can take. How about, again, what we trust? That's public, right? All right, the tiebreaker now. What year since Google has been around? 1999. One more guess.
1995.
All right, 1998 only. All these things has been around for less than 20 years, and we trust them so much. The Bible has been written not in one specific year or in one single location. The Bible is a collection of writings, and the earliest ones started around 1400 BC, possibly the Pentateuchs, okay? Were set down early, nearly around 3,500 years ago. It spans 3,500 years where the Bible has been in one form or another. Has existed 3,500 years compared to 20 years. The Bible was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Google was inspired by the founder. By over 40 different authors from all walks of life, shepherds, farmers, tent makers, physicians, fishermen, priests, philosophers, and kings. Despite these differences in occupation and span of years it took it to write it. The Bible is extremely cohesive, and unified Bible, teaching of God's sovereign goodness and faithfulness. My exhortation to you is use the things that was on a previous slide, but trust the Word of God. Trust His faithfulness. His Word is never ending. It will not pass away. The earth might pass away. His Word will not pass away. So maybe, let's consider 20 years, 3,500 years. Who do you trust? Next slide. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. God is great is your faithfulness. And lastly, in Romans, and being fully assured that what God has promised, he was able also to perform. And the Bible declares emphatically God's faithfulness and goodness to you. This is the only place that we can find our true rest. I'm not saying that you can stop all your worries. That's not humanly possible. But oftentimes when you read the Bible, it says, fear not, all right? It doesn't say, just don't fear, all right? It gives you a reason not to fear. The reason is, fear not, for God is with you. The solution to your fears and your worries is not just pushing your fears away, it's to replace it in the faithfulness and putting your faith in God. You can't chase your fears away. You can't go, I'm not fearful, I'm not fearful. That doesn't work. It needs to be replaced by your faith in God, by your volitional choice to put your faith in God and seeing his perspective. In Psalms 73, all right, the psalmist cries out to God. He goes, oh man, the wicked are prospering. They have full health. They do all these things, like Donald Trump, and they don't get caught. They just seem to prosper. They even become president. This makes no sense. I am angry at you, God. Until I entered the sanctuary of God, until I went to worship God, it all made sense. When you see it from God's perspective, and when you trust in God, this craziness that we see sometimes will make sense in light of God's eternity. That's the only way you're going to find peace. You have to trust God, and you have to see God's bigger perspective. All right? I'll give you an example. Sometimes I hate getting cheated. You know, sometimes when somebody cheats me, it gets me really upset. You know? All right? Like a contractor gets really upset when they promise to do something and they don't do it. All right? I'm doing some renovation at my father's house, and the contractor definitely didn't do what he promised. All right? There's already cracks on what he repaired. And I get really upset because I go, this is not fair. This is not fair. You know? I'm not going to get him back to fix this thing. But then I go, stand back. It's only a house. All right? I did my best with him. And even this is going to pass away. And I go, okay, all right. There's a little crack, but it's perfect. I set my peace. But only this is all going to pass away. Then I sit back, and I said, I have the bigger things, all right? I have my family. I can love my family. I can love my wife. I step back and look at the bigger picture. It makes that crack a little bit smaller in a way. Same thing with God. We all have struggles. You worry about your grades. You worry about what school you might get into. You worry about friendships. You worry about people liking you or not. You worry about your jobs. You worry about your health. You worry about your 401k. Right? Okay. I'm not taking those things away from you. But in light of God and God's love, eternal love upon you, maybe you can chill a little bit. Wouldn't it be good to be chilled a little bit? It is once said that there was one descriptive of Jesus that stood out more than anything else. Yes, he was holy, but another descriptive of Jesus is often very relaxed. Every single attempt to portray Jesus, you know, on the movies, right, you see him always relaxed, always calm. I think he had great trust in the great perspective of things. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. And that's the New Living Translation in John 14. And it says, again, do not let your hearts be troubled. Why? Why? Trust in God and also trust in me. And the subsequent verse of that in John 14, it really talks about the eternal kingdom that you will and I will have. God is preparing a room for you, a mansion with many rooms, and there's a room for you. And basically he says, trust in me, all right, for there is a better place. There's a better hope, the bigger perspective. Put your trust in God. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its root by the streams. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. Whoa. Or the year of elections. And never fails to bear fruit. Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8. Okay, next. Okay, so this is a summary. We all need rest. Agree? We all need rest. We get pretty psychotic when we don't have enough rest. And even if you have physical rest, even if you get physical rest, if there's no trust, you're still always tense. It's not just physical rest we're all looking for. We're really looking for an emotional, physical, spiritual rest that we need to be a whole person, right? We all need to trust something or someone, right? Remember? If you can imagine a world where you don't trust anything, all right, it would be pretty bad, wouldn't it be? Right? So there's a desperate need in every one of us to trust. When I'm around good friends that I can trust, I'm really relaxed. When I go on vacation, I never go with anybody I don't trust. You think about that. In this sense, I go with friends who are trust in the sense that they're not very reactive. You get not edgy. You want to go with friends that you can trust. And once you're around friends and people you can trust, you're much more relaxed. We all need to trust somebody, right? We all need what or who we trust are in to be good and true. This is interesting. It's not only that you need to trust somebody or trust something. You need for that thing you trust or the person you trust to be good and true. And I'll put it this way, powerful or effectual. Think about that. Oh, well, I'm just saying, I can trust my nephew who's 12 years old, right? Right? I can trust him. Okay. He's pretty trustworthy. To drive? No, he's not very effectual in his driving. He doesn't have the capacity to drive. So what I need to trust is the person good? He's good, all right? Yeah, he's kind of truthful, but I also need him to be awesome in ways. Have to have power in a way. And that just concludes the one simple thing, if nothing else. If you want true rest, you only find your rest in trusting in God. That is our true rest. Our hearts are restless until we find our trust or rest in God. Okay? That's it. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. And trust also in Jesus, okay? And that will be it. So, by the grace of God, and again, by the invitation and the power of the Holy Spirit, that somehow we will turn our worries. And every time we worry, there is a solution before us as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's to volitionally put our trust in God who is trustworthy. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you that you love and accept us as we are. People who are confused in this storm, people who are afraid of so many things, people who are longing to find rest. And thank you for being our true answer, our true hope. Thank you for being a God who's good. Thank you for being a God who's faithful. Thank you for being a God who's in control of everything and awesome in all your ways. that we can actually fully put our full weight of trust in you and you alone. So by the grace of the Holy Spirit, every time we are faced with worries, Lord God, may you bring us home to this truth that you are this awesome, trustworthy God. May our lives reflect this rest in you, that the world will see that there is a better way, that our non-reactive presence in worryful situations will point to a God who's worthy of trust. May we learn how to trust you day by day. May we learn even how to turn off our phone for half a day in our Sabbath to enjoy your presence. That's simple to ask, but it's so hard to do. But I believe that you are the great God who can bring us to a true rest. Thank you, Lord God, for being awesome in all your ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.